Hey listeners, we're Caring Better and Braver. I'm your host, Jenna Juvie, and I work for the Aging and Disability Resource Center of La Crosse County. This is a podcast for family caregivers in Wisconsin and the La Crosse County area. We're here to support, inform, connect, and recognize all of you who devote a part of your lives to caring for someone else. We're kicking off this podcast with conversations about respite. What is respite care, and why is it so important? Respite care provides short-term relief for primary caregivers. It can be provided in the home, in an adult daycare center, or in a healthcare facility, and for any period of time. It could be an hour, several days, or even weeks. In a 2019 survey, nearly three-quarters of Wisconsin caregivers reported that they were not meeting their own personal needs, and 72% reported they were tired and worn out all the time. So as a caregiver, respite is really something you should plan for. You should anticipate needing time to yourself or to take care of your personal needs. And early planning is key. Don't wait until you're already burnt out to seek some help. To help you get started, this episode and next will provide an overview of a couple respite options here in La Crosse. Today we're with Sarah Roble, Executive Director of Causeway Caregivers. She's going to tell us about her organization and OASIS, which is a respite program that Causeway offers here in La Crosse. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you, Jenna.
For those of you who don't know already, Causeway Caregivers is an organization in La Crosse that provides volunteers and community services to elderly individuals and adults with disabilities. Their mission is connecting people with needs to people who care. I asked Sarah to give us a quick introduction of Causeway as they offer a range of services and outreach programs that family caregivers should know about.
Our core values have stayed the same since we began in 1986, and that was to connect people in need with caring volunteers. Simple as that. We do not charge for any of our services. That was very important from the onset, that regardless if someone has lots of money or no money, they could still need help getting to the grocery store. When families move out of town, as our abilities to drive and navigate not only our city, but those large stores, or our strength to carry everything in once we get home. Now we have all these bags full of items that need to come in the house. That's where Causeway helps. And regardless of someone's income or abilities, someone else through a volunteer connection can be that help that helps them stay in their home for as long as possible and active in our community. And since I've been with Causeway since 2008, we have, you know, we've added new programs and outreach missions, and we've subtracted some that just don't work in our community or in the type of volunteers that we have now. And one of those programs that we've moved into that we're talking about today is OASIS Respite.
I was telling Sarah that I'm not originally from La Crosse, and when I moved to the area, I was so impressed when I found out about Causeway. The community I moved away from had a small volunteer caregiver program, something like a list of individuals on a single 8.5 by 11 sheet. Causeway was in part so impressive because it felt like they had an abundance of volunteers. And even during the COVID pandemic, although face-to-face activities were limited, they found volunteers who were willing to help with grocery shopping and running errands. So I had to ask Sarah, where do they get their volunteers from? And how do they find so many people willing to help?
We have tried every avenue for finding people, and the best way to get volunteers is word of mouth. One volunteer sharing with another the positive experience they've had. A lot of our Causeway matches extend for years instead of just that week to week or month to month need that someone may have. And that's what we go for, is those ongoing supportive connections. So it becomes more of another grandmother or another aunt or friend for that family. And, you know, that's what we strive for. And during the pandemic, we never did close. I was lucky that where our office is, I was still able to come in and check voicemail. And we did stay home that required time that the government suggested or made us stay home. But we quickly realized our phone is ringing. People need to get to the grocery store. You know, the buses were shut down. The cabs were not running. People weren't you know, able to get a prescription picked up. And we quickly realized that if our volunteers were able to say yes, we could stay in business. And so what we did was, instead of doing that one, you know, going to pick someone up, we quickly changed it to, if you can order your groceries online, if you can get us your list, we will place those orders, pick them up, and bring them to the individual. Wafer, our local food pantry, did the same thing. You know, that person didn't need to be with the volunteer if we had a verification of their address and their details. So, you know, our community quickly adapted to make sure that we had food security for our folks, that we all stayed home to protect our elderly and our most vulnerable in our community. Well, those folks still need the services, and as basic as, you know, getting groceries. So yeah, we quickly realized that our connections have to even exist beyond a pandemic. And as we thought through it and we're able to navigate it, you know, our calendars quickly went empty. So we had more volunteers available, because they did not have all these extraneous activities and groups that they participated in were now shut down. So we were able to keep going through that pandemic and, you know, really serve and keep those connections going.
Connections and relationships. If there's one thing that will help us survive a pandemic, or any other hardships for that matter, it's the network of friends, family members, neighbors, and community members we can rely on when we need help. We'll have Sarah back for another episode to talk about more of the good things Causeway does for our community. For now, I want to get back to Oasis.
Oasis is a social gathering of who we quickly are coining the Oasis Bunch. It is fun. We get together on Thursdays. And Oasis is serving individuals in the beginning to mid stages of an Alzheimer's or other dementia diagnosis. And it's Thursdays at First Free Church in Onalaska. Drop-off is at 11 a.m., pickup at 3 p.m. And for those 4 hours, we are doing activities that focus on being social, being creative, being active, and brain activities. So in all of that, there's a lot of laughter. There is 50s, 60s, 70s music playing kind of loudly. There are spontaneous sing-alongs. People will do a dance that they remember. We get to know the people that are coming in to spend time with us as participants. And also we get to know the caregivers, through the caregivers, what their loved one did for a career, what their interests are, what their hobbies were. And Oasis is really spending time with that participant so their caregiver gets a break. It's funny, when a caregiver first comes, they're like, well, I don't know if my loved one's going to like this. And the first thing I assure them of is, we have equal men to women participants, which is great. We have a male staff member and male volunteers, as well as female volunteers. So we do appeal to both male and female. And it's not just one sole lonely guy sitting with a bunch of ladies. We do have a lot of different things going on and different folks that are there. And sometimes it's the same people each week, and other times we'll have new individuals rotate through. But we find out what their interests are, and then we pick up materials that interest that individual. And not that they're just doing that interest, but we have something that can kind of break the ice and get them engaged right away. We have a drone that we fly. We have remote control cars. We have beanbag toss. We have a bowling set. We have puzzles. All the materials in Oasis are purchased for individuals with dementia or senior individuals. We do not buy children's coloring books or children's activities, because we don't want our participants to come down to our materials. We want our materials to rise up to them. Mm-hmm. So it is age appropriate. And then besides all of the activities that we have, Jenga, we have so many different activities just for our folks to choose from. And we set them out each week. Sometimes we'll notice that, you know, no one's bowled in the last 2 weeks. So we will switch to our Nerf gun targets and our Nerf gun course. So people are shooting Nerf targets and having fun. So my guys who used to hunt, who were duck or deer hunters, set up that target and watch those old habits come back to life. We have fishing poles and lures, and they go fishing in the corner. We have fishing for ducks. We have lots of different activities that tune back into those interests that our individuals have. So we really like to set ourselves up to where someone looks forward to coming each week instead of saying, well, I'm just going to go sit somewhere and do a puzzle. And then my loved one's going to come get me. We don't want that. We want to have a good time.
Here's a point for caregivers to consider. When you're coming up with things to do for someone living with dementia, choosing age and stage-appropriate activities are key. An age-appropriate activity is designed to appeal to a person of a certain maturity level, and that's often tied to chronological age. So as Sarah mentions, OASIS will not purchase children's coloring books for adults to use. A stage-appropriate activity is something the individual physically or cognitively can do based on the stage of their dementia. For example, doing laundry is a simple, age-appropriate task for someone in their 70s who has mild dementia. As the dementia progresses and begins to affect their motor skills, doing laundry becomes more difficult. Doing only part of the task, such as folding the clothes, may be more appropriate at that time.
One of the new programs we've started is doing a pen pal program for people who have moved out of OASIS or graduated out as their disease progression moves on. We thought, well, let's stay in contact with them. So I take pictures every week of our participants, and I use that with communication and reporting for that caregiver so they know what their loved one experienced. And then we take those same pictures and put one on the inside of the card, and then we all sign it. So the person that receives that card sees a picture of themselves, may remember us at OASIS, might not. Everyone signs it. We use different colored pens. So the card itself is something, you know, and everybody loves to get mail. And then the rest of the month, we do activities based on holidays, the national day that might happen on our Thursday. We celebrate volunteer and participant birthdays, and we do hats and noisemakers and tiaras and birthday glasses. And one of my volunteers makes a homemade birthday cake each time we have So we have a good time at OASIS.
Just listening to Sarah talk about what OASIS participants are doing gives me the warm fuzzies.
And everyone that comes in, they come in looking for a hug. And all of my volunteers, myself, our CNA, we do have a CNA on staff, we all hug right back.
Another thing Sarah mentioned a while back is the male-female participant ratio, and that they have just as many men attending OASIS as they do women. Find that really interesting. Finding activities for people with stereotypical male interests can be super difficult. I'm not exactly sure why that is, but in my own experience as a professional caregiver, I found I needed to think a little harder and do a little more work to discover what the men I was caring for really would enjoy.
What's really cool is our CNA, Glenn. He goes through his scrap lumber and he preps all of the wood, pre-drills all the holes, and brings these kits to OASIS, and anyone can build a birdhouse. We have double-decker birdhouses, side-by-side birdhouses, single-family birdhouses. And, you know, whoever's interested can build a birdhouse. We have other people that'll paint the birdhouses. And we're quickly realizing that this might become a fundraiser for us or an avenue for sustainability for our program. We've done loggers, birdhouses. We've done packer colored badgers. We have that every week we build birdhouses. So if anyone's ever looking for a birdhouse, you can absolutely contact OASIS because we have birdhouses.
Now she's got me thinking about a new home for my birdies. Let's recap some basics about OASIS. This is a respite program for people with mild to moderate symptoms of dementia, Alzheimer's, and other brain-related impairments. It operates primarily on a volunteer basis and is designed to provide a supportive and safe space for participants to have some time away from their caregivers. If your loved one has advanced dementia, OASIS may not be appropriate for them.
We have had individuals that their progression or their diagnosis progressed to where their needs were more than what OASIS is set up for as a respite program and for 4 hours. Sometimes that 4 hours is too long. Mm-hmm. And as someone moves through that diagnosis, just staying content or engaged in activities, it just becomes too hard. And more often we have yet to be the one that has to have that conversation with the caregiver. So far it's been that caregiver saying, you know what, I just can't get them to dress anymore and come to the program. And then we have some folks that when it's time to go to Oasis, there's resistance at the door. I don't mm-hmm. want to go. I don't know where we're going. Why do I have to get dressed? Why am I going? And our caregivers have found that those pictures that I send on Fridays or Mondays of our Oasis Thursday, that they can bring up that picture on their phone or their computer and say, this is Oasis. Do you want to go see, you know, Sarah? Do you want to go see Glenn or whoever their favorite volunteer is? And that gets them in the car. You know, so we help with those kind of problem solving. One of our caregivers said, you know, I am finding that my loved one, it's getting harder to feed them. Their interest in food's going down. You know, I feel bad that I'm giving them this to eat. Sometimes it's just those gentle reassurances and giving them strategies. Some of the individuals I refer to our community dementia specialist. Some of our folks we refer to other more day program for help. We have this network of professionals in our community. Give them a call. You know, mm-hmm. none of us have been through this before. We're not licensed and practiced caregivers. A lot of times we're thrown in the deep end. So absolutely reach out. And it does take a village to care for people.
It takes a village to care for people. Listeners, remind yourself of this and know it's okay to reach out for help. Sarah could probably talk for days about the fun they have at Oasis. Between drones, pen pals, Nerf wars, and birdhouses, I think we have a good idea of what to expect. The program is open every Thursday from 11 to 3, and that's over the lunch hour, so I have to imagine they provide some sort of food.
Yep, we do a meal as part of our programming. People arrive at 11, and I cook all the meals myself. When people come to Oasis, they get fed. This week, for example, I'm doing Thanksgiving dinner in a crock pot. With Oasis is everything I serve hot. And I stay away from sandwiches because of choking. When I put things in a crock pot, they're quarter inch size bites or smaller. So this week it's Thanksgiving in a crock pot. So it is chunk chicken and then crouton stuffing with organic green beans. And then I make a roux over the top and it goes in the crock pot and then it sits and simmers. And then we always have organic vegetables. We do organic fruit each time. And then we have to have dessert. That is a rule of Oasis, is that there will always be a dessert served. And a lot of our desserts are fruit-based. I use a lot of coconut oil instead of butter or margarines. And so we really look at organic whole grain and healthy fats. And then our volunteer Phyllis makes those amazing homemade birthday cakes. And she is just this wonder in the kitchen.
I can tell that Sarah put layers of thought into the program and what they're offering people. She's mentioned mentally stimulating activities, brain-healthy food. Later in the conversation, she told me about physical activities they do, like chair yoga, beach ball ping pong, and walking the nearby nature trail. They walk and roll the parking lots, and sometimes it's just sitting outside and having a conversation. Every day there's something different. They try to mix it up. I know the big question our listeners are wondering now is, how can you get started with Oasis?
It's simple. You can give us a call. We do have a website, oasisrespite.org. You can give me a call at 608-780-0471. You can call Causeway, 608-775-9999. And if you forget everything else, but you remember Causeway, you can do a Google search for Causeway Caregivers, and Oasis is mentioned on that website, but it'll get you to the Oasis website as well. So you can always call the ADRC. They will route you to us. You can call First Free Church and they'll route you to us. Lots of different ways to find us. So you can look for current pictures or what we're busy doing on Facebook as well.
Before I let Sarah off the hook, I asked her for her thoughts about the future of respite and whether there are enough options for caregivers currently. We know that there's a shortage of respite and in-home care providers, and the demand for those types of services already can't be met. as the aging population increases and the number of individuals living with dementia is also expected to grow, community-based respite programs will be ever more important to keeping the sanity of our family caregivers. Listen to what Sarah has to say.
I think respite is so important for caregivers. The one thing I kind of compare it to is if you've ever had a young child in your home and you lay them down to go to bed, I don't think we ever fully rest because you have a part of your brain that's listening for them. And I think that that component comes back into play when you're a caregiver and you are listening for that loved one. Are they breathing right? Did I hear them get up? You know, you're looking next to you, or if they're sleeping in another room, you're going to that room. You may employ monitors to help, you know, make sure that they're okay during the night. When you don't sleep at night, it carries into your day. And when we have an individual with a diagnosis, that day can become challenging too. And then it just compounds on a caregiver. And it's so ironic. A lot of times when a caregiver, the first time, maybe even the second time they come to OASIS, they drop their loved one off and say, well, what do I do now? And it's a soldier mode. You know, you get those blinders on and you are a soldier and you're doing your mission for that day. And now you have 4 hours free. What do I do? And I tell people, go take a nap, put your feet up, watch something on TV that you used to love to watch, visit with friends, go for a cup of coffee, go watch the Eagles. It's truly up to you, but we have them and they're just fine. I think having that component where you know Thursday, I'm going to get a break. I am going to schedule my doctor appointment on Thursday because caregivers are in soldier mode. And they start to ignore themselves because their loved one needs them more. And they know their loved one the best. No one's going to fill their shoes. And so they start putting themselves on the back burner. Giving that 4 hours, it's okay to go to the doctor. And I don't have to worry about my loved one coming to the doctor with me. I don't see that ever going away, unfortunately, for a caregiver in that role.
Sarah goes on to share some ideas about the future of respite that I find very interesting and thought-provoking. She feels that churches could step up to the plate and offer spaces for programs that support caregivers. In doing so, churches would have a renewed sense of purpose and place in their communities.
We've kind of moved away from our churches a little bit, and I think your church is a great place to start in that caregiving role. You know, 40, 50 years ago, churches were the center of our community. And I think when you look at the churches around us, they're all looking for that rebirth. And I think caregiving and programming for seniors could move back into those spaces quite easily and provide, you know, another breath and a mission that most churches are looking for is serving in their community and making a community impact.
That's definitely some food for thought. Thank you, Sarah. We heard a lot of good information today about OASIS, and that's just one respite option here in La Crosse. OASIS is geared for people with mild to moderate dementia, Alzheimer's, and other brain-related impairments. Once again, you can call them at 608-780-0471 or find out more online at oasisrespite.org. Thank you, Sarah. We look forward to hearing from you again. All family caregivers in La Crosse County should know about the Aging and Disability Resource Center, or ADRC. The ADRC is a great starting point for information about respite options like OASIS. Assistance is free and confidential. Call 608-785-5700 or visit www.lacrossecounty.org/ADRC for more information. Thanks, caregivers, for tuning in today. Check back next episode. We'll be learning about another respite option here in La Crosse. Until then, be brave, be informed, and remember, we need to take care of ourselves so we can care better for others. See you next time.